It's time for Peeking Inside the Grapevine with Jimmy the Greek Yacht.
Well, thank you, Sam Sears. Good morning, everyone. Peeking Inside the Grapevine today. My guest today is going to be the good professor, Mr. Bill Sproul. We'll look at the latest controversy in the WNBA where the race card is being played. And I know a lot of people nationally are getting tired of the drama in this league. And then Bill will wrap up his story about professional women's baseball, back to that great movie years ago as well. And then we'll be back Thursday on Peeking Inside the Grapevine, same time right here on Mix 93. We're going to meet our sponsors, then we'll bring in the good professor. Coca-Cola of Hancock, open up some happiness in all your favorite Coke products, local stores and establishments, Coca-Cola of Hancock. Look sharp, your rallying pet stylist, Brian and Michelle, Brian's Barbershop, Razorback Drive, just off Sharon Avenue in Colton. Appointments highly recommended, walk-ins welcome, 482-8820. Portage Tire and Auto Repair, Ethel Avenue in Hancock, has a great selection of brand name tires in stock to keep your vehicle running smooth year-round. Special orders available along with rebates through the end of the month. See dealer for details. David Zuckery, Century 21 North Country Agency in Houghton, is the official realtor of Peeking Inside the Grapevine. He represents buyers and sellers, can be reached at 281-1846. For all your embroidery, silk screen, and necessities, team or company shirts, personal apparel, trophies, banners, everything in between, see Joe or Stacy at Homestead Graphics in Barraga, 353-6741. Dave's BP Super Service in Hancock, the area's only full-service gas station, open 7 days a week, tow and available 24/7, 365. Dr. Grant Olson, Northland Veterinary Clinic in Hancock, provides quality care of your family pets, 482-3400. At Q&L Overhead Doors, your Clopay Garage Door Distributor, Copper Country, Sharon Avenue in Colton, a call at 483-3791. Tim's Excavating Services and Skidding Services provides all your excavating needs, foundations and driveways, sewer and licensed septic installer, 906-370-4370. Saracen Family Dental, located 896 Campus Drive in Hancock, offers all aspects of family dentistry for the entire family. Dr. Tyler Saracen, 482-8601. Houghton Bill and Slam, 26 Brickyard Lane in Houghton, behind Q&L Automotive, meant providing quality bill materials to homeowners and contractors all over the Copper Country, from the foundation to the rooftop. Now your local True Value franchise. Next time you head to Green Bay, stay at the Thunder Lodge and Resort, Green Bay, Wisconsin, one of the biggest indoor water parks in the Midwest. Daily walk-in water passes available. A summer water park hours are in session. And also 25% off your room 7 days a week now through the end of the month. If you have problems with spiders, ants, fleas, mice, all kinds of pesky rodents, contact A-Plus Pest Management. They'll cure whatever is bugging you. A-Plus Pest Management. Time to bring in your good professor, Mr. Bill Sproul. Good morning, Bill. How you doing?
Hi, good morning, Jimmy. Always pleased to be with you.
Well, Bill, before we wrap up your story on professional women's baseball, I know I text you about an hour ago or so here on Tuesday morning. The drama in the WNBA continues. And I know a couple years ago people were glamoring to watch this product. But every weekend it's getting beyond ridiculous. People want Engelbert to be fired. They continue to have transgender talks. Now the latest incident this weekend, Chicago Sky's Azona Carrington was assessed a flagrant 2 and ejected after a hard fall across the fake and neck of the area fever Sophie Cunningham during the first quarter Saturday. The play was originally called a flagrant 1-2, but was upgraded, and afterwards Carrington called it white racism, white favoritism. Bill, I don't know about you. I don't listen to Michelle Tafoya, Skip Bayless. I know the NBA commissioners piped in. When is people just going to get fed up with this constant drama in the WNBA, which has a good product? Caitlin Clark gets treated unfairly, as all of us know. But Bill, are they getting dangerous waters, keep playing this race card by certain players doing it? I mean, and now they've got a transgender situation going on. When does Commissioner Engelbert, maybe the powers be and some of the owners, finally step up? Hey, guys, we better put a brake on this because they know their viewership is gradually going down compared to where it was last year. You've been around a lot, Bill. You've been around a lot of people. You've been around sports your whole life. You're the intellect part of this program. But where does it get to the point where sooner or later someone got to say, okay, guys, we got to put the brakes on this. It's getting really out of hand, and we're pushing away a lot of people.
You're quite right. I think there's the two big controversies right now, the transgender athlete right. debate and what the league has done, and then the physicality and the on-court stuff, and say the race card. It's very unfortunate. The background on the transgender stuff, that Sophie Cunningham stated in an interview she wanted to protect young girls from competing against a biological man. And right. That's created all kinds of national discourse and against Sophie Cunningham. The recent game in Indiana and Seattle, there was demonstrations. The owner of Seattle Storm was suspended, and then the commissioner has formed a task force to review what the league's gender eligibility policy is. And then a couple of former NBA players have said, well, we'll declare ourselves eligible for the NBA draft.
Right.
Which that has been that's a tough one. And then there's the targeting of stars is and they said Sophie Cunningham's been targeted a bit. Caitlin Clark as the kind of the white players have been it's just you're drawing all kinds of media attention to really some of the finer parts of the game and the excitement of women's basketball. So it's very unfortunate. I think that the WNBA is going to have to really crack down on a few things or just review what they're doing. So it's kind of ridiculous all the stuff that's going on with the transgender stuff. Looking at what the league rules are, it's just that there are no established rules for how to treat transgender athletes, and it's now become almost a political debate and kind of an election year. So it's extremely controversial. The support for Sophie Cunningham, is the conservatives, she's become the darling of their movement, and then it's going to sour many of the fans on the game because of it. So I think the WNBA is going to have to step up and really kind of review what they're doing.
And it really soured a lot already, Bill, but back to the main topic now. This past weekend, the race card, which had been played constantly, where Harrington said white primacy and white racism, white favoritism, to me that overshadows the transgender. And this race card is constantly getting played, and people don't want to hear this anymore. And then on top of the transgender, but again, Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, they're really getting in some dangerous waters here, aren't they?
Exactly right, Jimmy. They sure are. It's the politicians are jumping into it, the media is jumping into it, and it's just it's hard to know what the executive is going to have to do on it.
And then one thing, one columnist said this weekend, I can't recall, he said next time you go to a three-ring circus, the WNBA will be all three of them, and I'm starting to believe, and I don't watch it like I used to, Bill, and not that I ever watch it that much, I'll be at first admit, I enjoy high-end leverage sports, competition, elimination sports, but a lot of this stuff the last couple of years has totally pushed me away. Well, enough on that, Bill. We got about 10 minutes left, 10 and a half. Let's wrap up your neat story on professional women's baseball, going back to the movie years ago, A League of Their Own, and we talked on this last week, but it's trying to make back ladies' Hall of Mention as a very modest league going. But wrap up your little segment on that, Bill, before we reset here.
Okay, well, basically a couple weekends ago, the first games were played in probably the newest professional sports league, and it's the Women's Pro Baseball League. It's the kind of building on the excitement of the WNBA and the women's hockey. This league was founded by Justine Siegel and Keith Stein. And Justine Siegel, she's the first female to coach pro men's basketball or baseball. She coached for the Oakland A's, got her PhD.
Oh, wow.
She's been a coach in Canada for several semi-pro teams. She's coached in Mexico and Japan. She's actually named on the 100 most powerful people in Major League Baseball by USA Today. And Keith Stein, he's a Canadian lawyer and entrepreneur. He's he was vice president of Magna, an auto parts manufacturer in Canada, and other Canadian companies. He's owner of kind of a semi-pro baseball team in Toronto, and they've got a few others involved. Rob Godfrey, he's the son of the former Blue Jays president and general president, and he was the important person in Toronto, and former Blue Jays manager, Steve Gaston, when they won the World Series. So the league has four teams, the New York Heights, the Boston, Hunters, the L.A. Wings, and the San Francisco Fireballs. Now, this year, all of the league games are played in Springfield, Illinois, at a neutral venue. It seats a little over 5,000 fans, and they've had deluge the first couple weekends. Someone asked, well, why is it in Springfield, Illinois? Well, apparently that's where the first two women's teams were paid to play baseball, in Springfield, Illinois. There are 50 games for each team over several weekends, August and into September, and then they have the playoffs. They had a tryout last year in Washington, D.C., and they had over 600 players registered. There was a draft, and each team selected 30 players. And then had their spring training in Fort Myers at the Boston Red Sox camp. And the games are actually being streamed on ESPN Plus. There is a team salary budget. They do a number of things. The most famous players are Moni Davis. She played in the Little League World Series over 10 years ago. And this year she's been pitching a few games for the Savannah Bananas. Then there's a legendary pitcher from Japan. And then there's a pitcher that pitched in a couple of semi-pro leagues. So there's some names there. It's going to take a while, but it's kind of an interesting venture. Now, to tie it into the old story of the Tom Hanks movie, it's not the first league, probably the first professional baseball league for women, formed in the late 40s, or in the 40s, 1940s, and ran for about 10 years. It was the most famous league was the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. It was founded in 1943 by Philip Rigney. He's the chewing gum and Wrigley Field fame. There were several other major league executives that were involved. They wanted to maintain baseball in the public eye during World War II, and they were, because they'd lost a lot of the talented players, they just wanted another venue. And the league lasted for 10 years. It started with four teams, all from the Midwest. The original four teams were the Rockford Peaches, the South Bend Blue Sox, the Kenosha Comets, and the Racine Bells. It grew to 10 teams in the late 1940s, and there were actually 15 different cities because some of them went out of business. So there's some Michigan cities in here. There was the Battle Creek Bells, the Kalamazoo Lassies. There was a team in Muskegon. Milwaukee had a team called the Six, and then they moved to Grand Rapids. But they're all the Midwest teams. The most successful team was the Rockford Peaches. They won the championship four times and runner-up three times. So in the 1992 movie, A League of Their Own, starred Tom Hanks. It was a fictional movie based on the league. Some of the rules of the conduct for players in the All-American Girls Professional League, that they were not permitted to have short hair. They could not smoke or drink in public places. They were not allowed to wear pants. They were required to wear lipstick at all times. And during the spring training, they were required to attend evening classes at the Helena Rubinstein Charm School. And then each girl received a healthy kit and instruction, a beauty kit, and then how to use it. So it's kind of a fascinating story. There's a great, fascinating display at the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. It has their uniforms and the whole story there. So when I was there a few weeks ago, it was kind of fun to read the story. And I've since gone back and take a look at the movie. Kind of a fun one to see now that you know some of the history of this league. But it's another amazing history story for our audience today.
And you go back to some of those, the original movie was, again, one of the neatest movies I ever seen. Tom Hanks was phenomenal. But exactly, Bill, that first league you mentioned in the 40s, how long did that last? What was the longevity of it, off the top of your head?
It was founded in 1943, and the last season was 1954. So a little less, 12 years, basically, or 11 years.
And NBA,
a popular spot. All the All the teams are in the Midwest here, so it's really a fascinating story.
And relatively speaking, Bill, since that league folded, there's been nothing in between then and what we have going on now, correct, as far as the league?
That's right. There were a few others. A couple have tried it for a year, but no staying power. So it's going to be interesting to see this experiment. You know, they've already been talking even before the just a few weekends into the series. You can start to see them thinking, well, maybe if we expand it, you can almost guess, because there's the Canadians involved, it's going to be a couple of franchises in Canada. Within a couple of years, they may be, you know, playing games at their home fields rather than just in the one location. But they're going to try it out and see how it goes. But there seemed to be quite a bit of interest in the playoffs when they did last year, and there may be an itch for it, depending how things go in a couple of years of experimenting here.
And this league, the new baseball league, similar to professional women's hockey league, all the teams are owned by one major owner, right?
Yes, they're owned by kind of a group. There's Justine Siegel and Keith Stein is the major owners, and they're not going to get paid a bunch. The players, the team salary is less than $100,000. The team provides accommodations and meals for their weekends, and they cover the travel expenses. And if there's any revenues, the players share them. So it's you can imagine it's almost like a semi-pro league. They better have some other job. But there seems to be quite a bit of interest in the first couple weekends anyways, and it may build. So we'll see what happens, Jimmy, but kind of an exciting to tie us back to almost 70 years ago, 75 years ago, only 80 years ago, I guess.
Interesting to see, too, is they got the Athletic United Fast Pitch League, which I love that league. And I think that's going to gravitate more into hardball league because the popularity of women's fast pitch at the NCAA level. Be interesting to see if both those two can coexist, be honest with you.
Exactly right, Jimmy. The NCAA softball tournament just outstanding and generate a lot of interest. But we'll see what happens. You know, they may attract some of the players out of that that have played NCAA softball, and that's probably some of those are playing in this league, in the pro baseball league.
Well, Bill, great info as usual. We're going to reset here, and I'll keep you posted what we got going forward here. But again, Bill, great insight, and thanks for sharing that neat information on the ins and outs of how professional women's baseball and how fast pitch got started and how they're trying to get off the ground. It's been fun again, Bill.
Oh, good. Have a great week, Jimmy.
Okay, Bill, we'll talk to you later. Our in-house professor, Mr. Bill Sproul, peeking aside the grapevine. We'll be back Thursday right here on Mix 93. We're going to send it back to Sam in the morning. Thanks, Sam.